My subject tonight is something that certainly has been on the minds of every one of us. Today, America lives under the shadow of what may well be one of the most serious crises in many, many years. On New Year's Eve, Billy Graham made a statement about the crisis in the world last year. He talked of the nations which he had visited, and he made one warning. He said that he could see internal corruption and internal collapse in many nations. Now, we are conscious today of the crisis. The gas stations are closed on Sunday. 4,300 gas stations closed up permanently in the past few days. That is, they went out of business. The speed limits have changed from 70, 80 miles an hour down to 55 miles an hour on the highways. Now, in 16 states, this has already saved 19% of the death casualties that are usually reported in a given period. In all the other states combined, the death rate has gone down at least 2%, but the records have not been accurately compiled and sent in. The airline schedules are consolidating flights. Business and industry are struggling to find fuel. They keep scrambling from one supply to another to find fuel. Daylight saving time has gone into effect, and we are now in the midst of this all the way across the country. There are a few new regulations which come out daily, like setting the thermostat back 6 degrees. And as these regulations come out to us, we have this question: is the energy crisis real? Britain today is staggering under the pressure of a gasoline shortage and a power failure as well. Some of the factories in Britain have gone to 3 day a week, work week, and the unemployment is soaring to a 30% nationwide high. And of course, this same percentage will creep up in our own nation. Now, as we face this crisis, we say, who is to blame? And we look for somebody to be an scapegoat. One fellow said, it's them Arabs. They won't let us have their oil. Now, there are other people who say it's an international conspiracy, that it is a multinational company action. The oil consortium has gotten together and has become as powerful as the governments of the world. And they will hold it this way until the profits and the prices increase. Now, there are other people who are sane thinking people who believe that this energy crisis is a conspiracy of the communists, that they are out to wreck the economy of this world, of the free world. And their idea is not too far exaggerated, for communism would be happy if it could somehow throw into bedlam the entire economy of the whole free world and wreck it. Now, as we search also for the answer and try to discover where the brunt of the problem exists, there are politicians who get the blame. The Democrats are blaming the Republicans. The Republicans are blaming the Democrats, and both parties are blaming the president.
And so it's a pretty much of a merry-go-round. And like a football game that has been played the week before, Monday, most people can pretty well summarize it. Now, Simon, who says that the people have questions that are real, they come to him and ask him if the energy crisis is really genuine or is it exaggerated. One high government official in Washington the other day said that we are literally drowning in oil, that it is a matter of big industry and the government plotting together to bring about this crisis. Now, while there are many people who doubt this accuracy, Exxon reported the other day that their supplies for the recent month was at the same level that it was a year ago. And some of the other oil companies have reported a similar recording. So they show that the shortage there in their production is not desperate yet. Now, Ralph Nader, who is the consumer advocate, says that the real energy problem is unarmed robbery by the oil companies with the government support, that there is oil and fuel, but because of this combination, he says, things are going to go on, and it's going to happen. Because everything that has happened so far, he says, has happened to the advantage of the major oil companies. Now, with this as a background, the geologists say that less than 25% of the oil reserves have been discovered in the world. Now, if this is true, then is there a real energy crisis? While senators are getting letters that are coming in by the hundreds, by people asking them for the real truth of this. One senator in a northeast state said, my people now are paying 16 cents a gallon, more per gallon for gas than they did a year ago. The president in his speech yesterday said that the energy scarcity is real. And he also denied that it would ever be a situation where we would have to pay $1 per gallon. And he went on to enumerate the things that helped to relieve the shortage. Warm weather, government allocations, daylight saving times, a sacrifice by all the people, and so on. But people are feeling today, and they are trying to get at the truth, but they feel they are being used through the mechanism of government, while the printing of ration stamps are being enacted, and while the government and the president says that we're doing everything we can to cut down on the use of energy. I have a suggestion for the president. If he wants to cut down on the consumption of energy, he ought to first cut down on the breweries. Every one ought to be closed down. I think this is one place where we could save a lot of electricity and a lot of energy in the production of booze. Now, we have been loose as a nation. We have been a spendthrift people. We have wasted lots of the national resources that we have that are natural here in our own country. And we are guilty of waste. And America, who has 6% of the world's population and consumes about 30 to 40% of all the world's goods, we are living in luxury. And I think there are some lessons that we can learn from this. One is that it may teach us how to sacrifice. We have gotten to the place where we are soft and live easy, and it is difficult for us in the days of prosperity to know what sacrifice is. Another lesson that we may need to learn is the lesson of thanksgiving and gratitude to Almighty God and to our country, America, that has been rich, that we have been a privileged people, that we have much to be thankful for. We have been blessed supremely. Another thing we have to learn is, where are our priorities? And this is real important in life. Are our priorities in the physical comforts, the animal pleasures of this world, the lust of the flesh in life? Are these things the real things that are worthwhile? Is it more important that you drive your automobile down the highway 85 miles an hour, or 55, or 30 miles an hour? Which is important? Is it important that you have a living room that has 75 to 80 degree heat in it, or that you have 68 degrees and wear a little more clothing? Is it physical comfort and warmth? Is this the thing that is luxury for us? Now we're going to have to face these choices. Are we going to use our gas to go joyriding, or will we use it to go to church with, or to Sunday school with? Now we're going to find out that if this continues, we're going to find out something like it is behind the Iron Curtain. Because people are paying to be Christian there. They pay a real price. It endangers their job. Their children cannot go to college. They are deprived of a lot of things if they manifest that they belong to Christ and to the church, and if they worship publicly. Now, one of the real problems, I think, one of the important questions tonight is, the energy crisis today is real in the spiritual and in the moral. Look at Watergate. That is but a symptom of what is going on in our nation and in other nations of this world. This is only evidence of the moral decay that we have in the midst of our people. Now, what about the shortage? There is no shortage of power with God. He is of unlimited power. For Jesus came and said that through his miracles, he could heal, and there was unlimited power. Moses changed the shepherd's crook into a snake. At the walls of Jericho that fell and descended without one shot being fired. When David used his sling for a weapon, he slew the giant. When the widow's meal barrel was down to just a handful of meal, and there for the prophet, God provided a meal for him of bread, and the meal in the barrel was there during the famine and the depression. When Jesus had 5,000 people to feed, he sat down with a few fish and a few loaves. There was no energy crisis or power shortage there. He fed them all. Tonight, I bring you good news. Good news from the gospel, that's what it means. Good news for the world. And there are two or three things that I want you to remember tonight out of this sermon. Now, whether or not what I have said by way of introduction will help us in farming, whether or not there is a real energy crisis in gas, I want to say to you, there is a real energy crisis in divine things, in moral, in spiritual, in the midst in which we live. But when I look at Ephesians 1:19 and read, according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in heavenly places. I want to say to you tonight, there is no power shortage in the Bible. This book, the Word of God, I'm talking about the inspired Word of God. There are many figures of speech that are used to describe the power of this Word, the power of this book. Jesus talked about the power in the Bible as a sower going forth sowing seed. And he said, some fell on stony ground, some fell in the pathway, some fell on fertile ground. And those seed germinated, and they brought forth fruit. That is an encouragement to every preacher. That is an encouragement to every Sunday school teacher. Every time a Sunday school teacher stands up and plants the Word of God, they are sowing seed. And these seed, my word shall not return unto me void, God says. It's going to bear fruit. I know many times we preach, we're discouraged with results. Many times Sunday school teachers teach, they are discouraged with results. But never forget, your business is to plant the seed. You're a sower of the seed. And God will give the increase himself. I heard a missionary from Alaska this week talk about an Eskimo woman who is now 115 years of age. They planted the seed. A missionary worked there. And at age 102, that Eskimo woman accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. The seed will bear fruit. That Eskimo woman cannot even read or write. And so the next task of the missionary was to teach her one word in the Bible, and that was the word Jesus. She taught her the word Jesus. She could recognize it when she saw that word. And so that Eskimo woman gets her Bible down, turns through the pages, and on each page, she looks for the word Jesus. When she finds it, she puts her finger on it, and it makes her happy. And she says to her friends, I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading my Bible. I'll tell you, when you sow the word, it will prosper whereunto he has sent it. A soldier at Fort Knox was talking to a preacher, and he had something bulging in his pocket. And the preacher was asking him about what he was doing. He said, you know, they spent $25,000 training me. They have sent me out to run $1 million worth of equipment. But he says, preacher, I want to tell you, the greatest power in all of my life is right here in my pocket. And he pulled out a Bible. He said, here it is. When I'm tempted, I read God's word. It has power, and it helps me and assists me against sin. Yes, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This book has power. There is no energy crisis with the book when it is preached and taught and lived. During the Blitzkrieg by the Germans in London, one hit was directly on a church. This little church was getting ready in the country to have a harvest festival. They had on the altar down here some ears of corn. And following the bombing, there was nothing left. The whole building had been obliterated. Just a hole in the ground. The winter passed. The spring came on. And little green shoots began to come up in the ground. and the summer passed, and the autumn arrived, and there was standing a little crop of corn. Just as true as Jesus said, you sow the word, it'll bear fruit, it'll grow. There is power. There is no energy crisis in the book. Second, my friends, there is no shortage of energy power in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Here is a picture. When the Holy Spirit came down upon the Virgin Mary, and she conceived, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, when he was here on this earth, told his disciples, I must leave you and go away, but if I go, I'm going to send you a comforter. And the disciples did not understand that until the day of Pentecost. And on that day, when the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them, then they recognized, here was power. There is no energy shortage or crisis with the Holy Spirit. He is still powerful. Jesus was with them in the flesh. It was wonderful he could be with them. But in the Spirit, he could be in their hearts wherever they were. And isn't it marvelous tonight that we can have the Holy Spirit to bless our lives? Now I have just a minute to say one more thing. There is not only power in the book. There is not only power in the Holy Spirit. But there is power in the blood. By this I mean, when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, you're cleansed. Our sins are covered. We are covered by his own blood. Every sin I have committed, if I have a bad record, Jesus makes it white as snow. Yes, there is power in the book. For the word of God is quick and powerful, Hebrews says. There is power in the Spirit. Here is a demonstration of Spirit and of power, Corinthians says. There is power in the blood. It covers our sins. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. Our text tells us that here is a limitless source of power. Jesus Christ, dynamite, energy, mighty power. And what sin has done in our lives, here is a power that can bless us even to the resurrection of one from the dead. There is no power like it. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There is power, wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There is power in the blood. Would you daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful working power in the blood. Is the energy crisis real? Spiritually, morally, there is a crisis in our midst. But here is power to overcome that shortage. 193. As we sing this hymn, I want to invite you, if you're not a Christian, to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. If there is a shortage in your life, I want to urge you tonight to look unto him who is able to save you unto the utmost. This is the answer to the world's need. If you know this power, then you have no troubles with the other problems of the world. God has offered us this wonderful source if we'll accept it.
The South Norfolk Baptist Church has presented live their evening service from their sanctuary at 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. A cordial welcome is extended to you to attend Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 11, training union at 6:15 p.m., and Sunday evening worship at 7:30. That address again is 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. Join us again next week when once again the South Norfolk Baptist Church will present their evening service.
And you're listening to WXRI, Norfolk, Virginia. The time is 8:30.